From the Roundabout Studios in the Motor City, I'm Ben Sanders.
And I'm Eric Tritko.
From Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman.
From Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
And I'm your host, Craig Cole.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, episode number 14, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like kids at fat camp, we search high and low for traces of candy, stale chips, or even a cohesive zen-like theme. During our search, we sweat like cheese left out in the sun and dodge trips to the soccer field by faking heat stroke. Even though we never find anything good to eat, we always uncover spectacular news bites and stories to fit that theme, however out of breath or stretch mark they may be. And whatever's left over, well, we talk about it anyway, because we're starving! So welcome everyone, here we are, episode 14, Roundabout, yet again. Here we are, a Friday night. And joining me in the studio, as usual, from all the way from Dearborn, Michigan, is Mr. Eric Tritko. Eric, I'm glad you could make it.
I'm glad I could make it.
And of course, joining us on Skype are those two other people. Jeff, right?
That's my name.
All right. Glad you could make it. And of course, Zach, you're there too?
You know it.
Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, Michelle is not able to join us yet. Apparently, her boss is still... She went into the office today and her boss is hanging around longer than she expected. So hopefully... We'll see if we can get her on the line a little bit later.
Well, but in her stead, we've come up with a virtual Michelle.
Have we?
So, Michelle, what are you thinking today?
I was so sick of boiling and drying and reusing old catheters.
That has got to be a pain. All that drying and boiling and rinsing. What a hassle. Have you guys ever had to do that, you know?
Not for a catheter.
What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, like Eric said, not with a catheter, but okay. Maybe my hypodermic needles.
Oh, well, you take the time to clean those?
Yeah, you got to.
I did. That's news to me.
Safety
just keep
first,
them.
Craig. Well, I don't know how you roll in Detroit.
Always share your needle.
Share the love, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we've got, as usual, an all-star lineup of stories this week, and they all fit our In the Eye of the Beholder. That's our theme. So what we've got first and foremost here is an article from Consumer Reports. You can take that with a grain of salt if you want, but... The big news here is that the Dodge Challenger was, I believe, their top-rated car in, customer satisfaction. And it beat out the Toyota Prius, which is quite a surprise because people who own Priuses love them, like, a lot. So, I mean, this is a nice bit of good news for Chrysler, who hasn't had anything like that in quite a while. Now, Eric, have you driven the Challenger recently or at all?
The last Challenger I drove was a 1973 model.
Okay. So it doesn't quite apply.
No.
What about you guys? You been in it recently?
Yeah, I had one over the summer. It was great. I have to say I love that car, and I really didn't expect to. It was just, it felt good to drive. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't super fast or
it was comfortable.
Anything. Yeah, it was very comfortable. Interior, what are you going to do?
Bad.
Usual Chrysler deal.
I would say it was a shave above the usual,
caliber
Chrysler.
Or something. Yeah,
yeah. The steering wheel was what broke my heart. You know, it's that big, ham-fisted, you know, plasticky sort of steering wheel. But mm-hmm. other than that, you know, I had the mid V8. Was that a 5.7? I believe. Mm-hmm. Plenty of pep. Vigorous acceleration and a damn good looking car. You know, you got looks everywhere you're going with it. Yeah. So,
what about you, Jeff?
I've never driven it, but I do. On a different note, I do take these Consumer Reports ads about as serious as I take IIHS safety reports.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're very usually biased mm-hmm. a little bit. I'm glad that Dodge made it on the list. Whatever.
Yeah, it's a bit of good news for Chrysler. They haven't had any.
Yeah, they're getting some positive press, and they need it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I drove the Challenger maybe 4 or 5 months ago, and I was pretty impressed by it. I liked the interior. I thought it was better than most any other Chrysler vehicle out there right now. It had plenty of power. I drove the mid-engine one like you did. Well, not mid-engined, middle-level engine.
The 5.7. There's some news right there.
Yeah, like they're doing a one-off like that Genesis coupe. I drove the 5.7, and I also drove the SRT. And I think I like the 5.7 better. It was
The reason I like the 5.7 better is that you can get the 5.7 in white, and you can't get the big 6.2 in the SRT8.
White?
In
no,
white.
Thank you.
No.
White
blast
power, right, Zach?
Don't blast. Yeah. Vanishing Point, man. Come on.
Yeah, Vanishing Point. I was thinking of the movie, damn it.
Every Challenger, I won't say every Challenger, but a Challenger needs to have the option of being white. Just for that very movie.
Well, Space Shuttle Challenger was white, and you saw what happened.
Ouch. Well, that's about the same result as the Challenger in the movie Vanishing Point.
So. That's true.
Movie what?
Rapid disintegration.
Add it to the list.
Right. Actually, it was
Eric.
It's one of the cult movies, and when I hear cult movie, I think boring movie, but that was actually pretty fun to watch.
Unlike Tulane Blacktop.
Now, did you see Quentin Tarantino?
Did you see the Viggo Mortensen one, or did you see the original, like, 70s? Because the 70s one is, yeah, the 70s one is bizarre. It's strange. One second he's racing like a Jag E-Type, and the next second there's like some chick riding around naked
on a motorcycle.
CB350 in the desert. It
sounds like a good movie.
No, it's great. I highly recommend it.
I can't remember. Wasn't it a Challenger in Crazy Mary, Dirty Larry?
Are you just making stuff up now?
No. That's an early 70s like sort of B movie, cult movie.
A C movie maybe. Somebody made it in their basement with clay.
Oh, maybe it wasn't. Mud Monster thinks it's a Cuda. Maybe that's what
Wasn't Daisy Duke's car, not the Jeep, but her car, wasn't that a Challenger?
Yeah, it was like a 72, 73 Challenger.
Hmm. Fascinating.
For Father's Day this year, we rented my stepdad one of the new Challengers.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
He loved it.
The only knock I've got against it, it's huge.
Yeah, no, that car is gigantic.
Freaking gigantic.
Even compared to like the 70s version, it's massive, and I can't really figure out why it needed to be that big. I think
platform sharing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is that a 300 platform?
Yeah,
the LX. But look at the Camaro, that's shared with the G8, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's big too.
That is, yes. Yeah. It feels about 18 feet wide.
Yes, it does.
Not that it is. It's not really that big, but it is a big car. I mean, the Mustang is.
Let's put it away. The Camaro smaller. Had more interior room side, you know, like side to side than the CTS wagon I just got out of. In fact, it might have rivaled the MKS I just turned in today.
Hmm. Well, we'll have to get to that in the garage segment.
I'm just saying that's how big it is inside. It's like you can't really put your elbow up. I mean, granted that the door sill's sort of like
ear height
to begin with, but just like you can't reach over there and put your arm on the door sill and try and drive.
Yeah.
Of course, one of the upswings of that is that you have a trunk big enough to fit 5 or 6 bodies in. I mean, seriously, that thing is huge.
Yeah, but the liftover is so high. Could you really move 5 or 6 bodies? I'd be tired after 2 dead bodies.
Oh, frankly. You get that adrenaline going, you're just fine.
I don't know.
I promise you.
All right, that's why you got to kill, you know, never mind. I don't want to be recorded saying that thought in my head.
Statute of limitations isn't quite up yet.
Smart man. But yeah, a little bit of good news for Chrysler, thank God. They need a bright spot, and the Challenger is it. They beat out, like I said, the Prius, and it looks like second place was the Fusion Hybrid. So kind of an interesting mix there. Number one and two, a performance machine, and then a hybrid. So that's Consumer Reports for you, I guess. But the next story on our list comes from Audi. And Jeff, this one really caught your eye, didn't it? I mean, you were talking about it.
Well, thankfully it doesn't come from Audi.
Very true, very true.
but unfortunately it involves two of Audi's best looking cars right now, the A5 and the R8.
Hot. Hot
German
cars.
Tuner Hofel Design decided that the A5 needed to be injected with a little R8 flavor.
Well, yeah, it's you know, the sharing the family bloodline, so to speak. You get a little bit of the familial design cues, you know?
Yeah, it just doesn't work on this car.
Absolutely not. This thing is hideous. It's hopeful, if you ask me. Oh, yes.
How long have you been sticking up that one?
That's good. That's good stuff. So, yeah, I mean, what did they do? It looks like they just plastered literally a bunch of crap on the car.
Yeah, they did
called it a day.
The front and rear air intakes, the wannabe side blade.
That is the worst in my book, because that's like the signature feature on the R8, and then it's probably like a plastic film they stuck on there.
Yeah, this is a sorry looking car. It's
very busy. I mean, there's just a lot going on there unnecessarily. And you know, you look at the car and it looks like a Photoshop, you know, like things don't
like a bad Photoshop,
Yeah, it doesn't look like things really line up the way they should, you know. I don't know.
And look at the fender vent. It's like something off a Pontiac. It just doesn't flow with any of the other lines on the car.
When I first saw this, I thought it was a Photoshop, but then I'd since seen the convertible version too, and it looks like someone actually invested their time and built this car.
Wasted. Eric.
Yes.
You've been pretty quiet about this. You must be as disgusted as I am. What's your take on it?
Well, I'm going to go on the if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything.
Okay. Well, this is a podcast, and we have air to fill, so.
Oh. In that case, then, whoever came up with this design, since we're in Europe, we don't have baseball bats, but we could find a cricket bat. Someone needs to take a cricket bat upside the head of whoever pulled this thing off and knock some sense into them. How's that?
Okay. So whoever works for Hofele Design, watch out, Eric Tritko. It's going to be coming after you.
Someone spent too much time at the beer hall during Oktoberfest or something.
What if we put together the R8 and the S5? Oh, good idea, Helmut. And then that's what you get.
I wonder if, you know, somebody who's not in the cars would like this, you know?
Good question.
You mean that might be something that might come out, you see on a show on the Speed Channel from, say, a shop in
Dubai.
In New York with it's famous for putting out cars for, you know, athletes and stuff like that.
What's that?
Unique Whips?
They just opened a shop down in Miami.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Design Miami?
What? You should see if you can get an interview with him.
And punch that guy in the face? Here's what you get for destroying American beauty.
I guarantee you would get insane hits on YouTube if you had a video of you clocking that guy.
Dude, it would totally be worth the jail time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, let's put Lambo doors on an Escalade on all four doors. Yeah. That sounds like a great idea.
That dude's wide as he is tall.
Let's put 5,000 television screens inside of a Aston Martin.
I want to know what kind of how many alternators they have to put in some of these things to power the stereo systems they throw in these things.
It's a good question.
Probably just one. I don't think they ever actually open the hood.
Or ever actually use the equipment, because you can't. Who could use 50 TVs at once? Come on.
Actually, this car would probably be a mix between Unique Whips and Pimp My Ride. If those two TV shows got together with an Audi A5, this would be the result.
The sad thing is that the shop that does Pimp My Ride, was it West Coast, whatever. Yeah. They actually do some really cool stuff. But
one of the guys from that show was actually speaking at the Knoxville Auto Show last year. It was very bizarre. I was like, you must be
was he
hard
the keynote
up
speaker
cash.
Or what?
Yeah. It was very strange. Like, he had like a crowd of like 10 people around him, you know, like listening to him speak.
Was it the head guy there? What's his name, Ben?
Bo Bachman.
Berkman.
I don't know. I just recognized him from the show.
We had him on Autoline a year ago.
Yeah, we went out to L.A., or rather Ben and everybody else went out to L.A. and did a whole bunch of work.
I've met the old man Galpin one at SEMA.
Old man Galpin.
Oh, dude was like 80 years old or 78 years old. So, I mean, yeah. But he
get off my lawn. I'm sorry.
He was hanging out with Carol Shelby. So
oh, old man reunion then.
Yeah.
Wow. How old is Carol? He's got to be like
82, 83.
Yikes. 300.
Yeah, I know. He was born in the Paleozoic era. But all right, that's enough disgusting Audi. The next thing on our list, Zach, it's about a Chinese invasion of sorts.
Yeah,
or not really.
I guess it was about a year ago when all the buzz was building for the 2009 Detroit Auto Show. Everybody was making big waves that a bunch of Chinese automakers had floor space on the main floor, which had never happened before. And I guess everybody was really worried that heralded the beginning of an influx of Chinese cars. Well, mm-hmm. You know, I guess you would have to have a decent product first for that to happen. Evidently, China's been selling cars in Europe for about 9 months now, and in that time, they've managed to move 745 vehicles.
Wait, 745
in 9 months.
So someone actually sold less cars than Isuzu last year.
Dude, Spyker almost sold more cars than the Chinese did.
Do you think people in Europe realize that they're death traps, or
yes,
or they're not swayed by the cheap price?
Well, it was a pretty big controversy when Brilliant first wanted to sell their first car over there,
mm-hmm.
and it failed Euro NCAP
like
testing.
Zero stars. Yeah. Like negative
stars.
They
didn't even give it zero. They said, you can't sell this car here because we're failing it. I mean, it looked like 1950s cars would have, you know, the crush technology. Yeah, exactly.
Dead.
It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way to limp away from that accident, one of those things. Mm-mm.
The really important thing to realize
here.
There's
the video, man. You can see the door just pops open.
Yeah.
Those sales figures aren't from just one company. That's three companies combined.
It's a pretty good year then, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's going to be holiday bonuses everywhere. If holidays weren't banned in the People's Republic.
It's Government Day or something, isn't it?
Probably.
Look at the side view of this thing. Look at how bad the floor bends down in that crash.
That's called a crumple zone, Eric. And it's doing its job.
As bad as that video is, I don't even want to think about what it would look for either of the two vehicles that I own, you know, the Scout or the Triumph in a crash like that.
Don't even think
about
it.
Well, see, the best thing is, especially in the Triumph, is who cares? You're dead.
Yeah, it's just game over. Yeah. You know that when you hop behind the wheel. It's like, you know, there's a good chance. I just may not come back from getting milk or wherever I'm going.
But wouldn't it be worth it to go that way?
Absolutely.
Well, look, Zach Bowman was such a badass. He drove this Triumph Spitfire, and then he threw caution to the wind, registered it, insured it, and took it out on the road, and died in a blaze of glory.
Not in a blaze of glory. Sorry, I'll sing.
Is this karaoke cast now, Ben? You got some
music? Can you name that?
Of course not. Do you even have to ask? Can Ben name that song?
No.
I was just going to say, please don't play that at my funeral. That's
live entertainment at your funeral.
Bon Jovi for Mr. Bowman.
That's right.
We'll have the Roundabout Live podcast from your funeral. How about that?
Absolutely.
And Zach Bowman is able to join us today, but, well.
He's not saying much for some reason.
He's a little quiet. We'll leave it at that.
His mouth is sewn shut from the inside. And we're all grateful for it.
Oh, man. Well, the mortician did quite a job. Gave you a little color to your skin. Sorry.
Yuck, yuck.
Yuck, 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 yuck. So, yeah, 745 vehicles sold in the EU in 9 months from three Chinese automakers.
So if I
could sell more cars if I made them in my basement, I think.
Going on the assumption that there's 10 million new cars sold in the EU, which I know it's probably a little optimistic, but let's just say that that's the number. That means the Chinese own 0.0000746% market share.
How much again?
But that's a share, buddy.
What was the number again?
0.00007 6.4, I believe, is what it was.
So they're getting close to 1%. So getting there.
In this article, my favorite line is they're breaking down which companies sold what. And the last company is Changan Auto, with 6 overseas plants, sold 34 units.
Is that enough capacity to keep a plant open?
I don't know. Is a plant like a donkey shed? And a,
Hey,
hey, you know they're big in Japan. Oh, wait a minute. No, they're not.
Moving along.
I think Mud Monster apparently has the next story.
Well, yes, he did. He sent this one in, Roundabout's number one fan, Mud Monster. He's a very active participant, and we thank him. Mud Monster, we thank you for your help. This is either a sad or a hilarious story. I'm going to say it's the latter, but it comes from our website, metro.co.uk, and it looks like a Chinese truck driver, his windshield exploded or got blown out, knocked out, whatever. And he had to make his delivery, so he put a piece of cardboard to cover the whole front where the windshield was knocked out. Cardboard. As in, you can't see through it, cardboard.
There are holes, Craig.
Oh, those are probably vent holes or something.
when I first saw this, I thought, well, what's the big deal? It's icy out, or there was an ice storm or snowstorm. Mm-hmm. It was cold, and he put cardboard over his windshield to keep it from getting all screwed up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess not so much.
The article says, the trucker has now lost his license after he drove 800 kilometers, that's 500 miles, down a motorway with a sheet of cardboard covering his shattered windshield. Okay, he's lost his license for doing something stupid. But the article goes on. Sing Lee, 24, navigated by sticking his head out the driver's side window. Okay.
Ace Ventura of China.
Okay, so he somehow doesn't die driving with his head out the window. You know, he's able to steer it somehow, keep it on the road. But it gets funnier or sadder, depending. The article goes on, unfortunately, this caused him to become rather cold. When he was arrested in Hainan, which is apparently in eastern China, not only was one eye frozen shut, but his head was blue from the cold. Yeah, it's like a cartoon.
I can sympathize a little bit with this gentleman. Back when I first got my 92 Mustang, well, not too long after it, I had 3 different windshield wiper motors go out on me. So
three?
I got 3. I literally had one go out, and it took two others before I finally got one that worked for more than a week.
Were you buying OEM parts?
Yes, I was.
Really?
Yes.
Because
it was covered under warranty. I bought a 2-year. It was a 2-year-old Mustang, 5-liter Mustang,
mm-hmm.
and it had been owned by an executive at Ford.
Okay.
And so it was covered under an extended warranty plan. And yeah, so all that got done for free. But I got very good at driving in the rain because this is all in April. And I learned the glories of Rain-X.
That's a good product.
I'll tell you what, I was a believer. I could do a testimonial about Rain-X from that experience alone.
Yeah. You know, see, this guy with the truck, I wonder if he would have been better off just leaving the windshield gone and not worrying about the cardboard.
He would have been just as frozen.
Just as frozen, but if he had goggles or
saran wrap
or something, the cops probably would have just not even recognized that there was no windshield there. Probably
you know what
just
I'm amazed
not-
by? That they gave him a ticket and suspended his license. I'm shocked that they recognize this is dangerous in China. Because of all the safety stuff they pull off. I mean, my dad
like
was
the
there a couple
the
years
baby
ago for
toys
work.
For Americans?
Say again?
Like the lead in baby toys
yeah.
for us Americans?
Yeah. Or the air quality. It's just this choking
brown. They have air quality?
Lack of quality.
Yeah, it's bad.
makes LA in 1972 look good? Is that what you're saying?
Went outside for a walk. Just smoked a carton of cigarettes. No, I mean, my dad was there a couple years ago for work. And he was telling me that the air is just brown because everybody burns this like soft coal for heat. So there's just awful air quality. And then the drivers are terrifying. Terrifying. They drive on the sidewalk. pedestrians just wander across the road into oncoming traffic. There's no he phrased it as they don't realize yet that when you get hit by a car, you die. you know, and they just they go walking into the street in rush hour traffic.
They have this thing called Darwinism. Is that?
I mean, granted,
we have 50 billion of them. I mean, can afford to lose a few.
Well,
racism cast.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Well, I was gonna say something else.
And I suppose it's good you refrained.
But. Well, actually, it had to do with the logic of someone that would do this. It's probably the same person that's building all those Chinese cars that are crumpling in the 30-mile-an-hour crash test, too.
I'm just looking at the chat. Gore Skick. Sorry about that. I don't know how to read.
It's Gorski C.
Oh. Yeah. He's saying that I was describing the driving behavior of the French as well. So, I've never been to France, but are they bad drivers? Have any of you guys witnessed?
Actually, I had a French teacher in high school from France. And
Wait a minute. Is this a story?
Well, not really a story. Do you want to play the clip? Play the clip. Come on, Ben.
Yeah, it's story time.
And now, a story with Zach Bowman.
And so anyway. Zach, before you get into that, let me just thank Mud Monster for sending us some audio files for that. Thank you. It's brilliant. Anyway. Now we have a nice clip to play before Zach goes off on a tangent. But I'm sorry, continue.
Can I tangent now?
Yes, please.
All right.
Make it good,
so,
too.
A few friends and I are walking home from school, and there are parking spaces on both sides of the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming northbound, okay? And
Hold on a second. This is about windshields, right?
Well, we were talking about bad French drivers, is what you said.
Yes, that's right. Sorry.
All right. Moving on.
Can I finish? Ben, you got to get that on the soundboard, too.
He's going northbound, and there's a spot open on the southbound side. So he cut someone off in oncoming traffic to park on the opposite side of the road. And he gets out of the car, and we're all like, what the fuck are you doing? We didn't say that, obviously, to our teacher, but still.
You'd have to say it in French. What?
He's like, this is not the norm in your country? I'm like, no, it's not the norm in your country.
This is not the norm in your country.
Oui.
Yeah, we take showers and park on the right.
Oh my goodness!
So yeah, that was bad French driving in the flesh.
I have heard if you're in Paris and you are around the Arc de Triomphe that you literally do take your life into your own hands trying to navigate around there. Yes,
is it like National Lampoon's
think
European
vacation
or
think?
Well, that was London, wasn't it? I don't know.
Think every Southerner's NASCAR dream. Getting drunk and driving around in circles, that's what it's like around the Arc de Triomphe.
Drunken Southerners.
Well, I say it's every drunken Southerner's NASCAR's dream, getting to drive around in circles at speed.
In a Citroën.
Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah.
Not that I'm stereotyping or anything.
No.
He didn't say it was a good dream. He said it could have been a nightmare.
Trapped in this goddamn French piece of shit.
Citroën,
yeah. Isn't that some kind of vodka?
Are you kidding? That's way too high shelf.
Oh, that's right. Aero charcoal filtered vodka?
What's a Pojo?
Pojo? Oh.
Renault?
For me. Renault. Yeah.
No, it's just Renault.
Was that the outro for his story there, Ben?
Oh, you
can play that?
Outro.
Yes.
The story did have an end, didn't it?
Me too.
This has been a story with Zach Bowman.
A grocery store chain, asshole.
See, you have a fan, Zach.
Cracks me up.
Oh, so all right. I think that'll wrap up our stories for this week. But I think now we can take a quick break and hear a few words from one of our sponsors. After that, we'll get to our blind spot story of the week. Plus, we'll have another auto gadget to tell you about. So sit tight, You do not want to miss this.
Did you hear that? It's the comforting sound of my safety skid brakes with patent-pending safety squeal technology. During dangerous panic maneuvers, safety squeal warns other motorists and innocent bystanders to brace for impact. When the wheels lock up, you know they're stopping with maximum power, and the violent pedal pulsation lets you know they're working. Think of it as a soothing massage for your tootsies. Remember, you can stop on a dime or you can do it for less with safety skid brakes. Watch out, kids, I'm coming through!
Safety skid brakes are the number one choice when it comes to stopping things. And don't forget, they make a great gift. Drop them in their stockings. Kids love brake pads. I know I used to get them at Christmas, and I used to love them. I don't know about you, Eric.
Could probably use some for the Ranger.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, well, what's that noise?
Santa.
I think he's delivering some safety skid brakes.
I had some safety skids in my Chevy Celebrity.
I bet you did.
I left you some safety skids in your drawers, too. Yeah. Oh, a new low for the show, Ben. A new low.
Mark this one up.
Oh. All right. So now it's time for our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. This week's story is all about a really, well, a really shitty way to die, basically.
Hey!
Yay! And you'll find out why in just a second. This one comes from the Detroit Free Press, and it's a local story here. A 14-year-old boy from Independence Township, as of last week, was in critical condition after being hit... And drum roll, please, by a septic tank truck. Yeah. I mean, there are worse ways to go, I would imagine, but this has got to be one of the worst. Being run over by a truck full of feces.
It's really when your life really is in the toilet.
And blueberry juice, you know, I mean, there's wouldn't solid feces in there.
Oh, what? Are you talking about sucking out porta-johns or something?
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah, you're putting it together.
Well, speaking of berries, Justin Travestead was crossing Ortonville Road on his bike in front of his house near Strawberry Lane.
Well done, sir.
Yes. So the truck driver, a 48-year-old Columbiaville resident, I have no idea where that is. Have you ever heard of Columbiaville, Ben?
No.
I'll take that as a no. He tried to swerve, but was unable to avoid Justin. He was flown to the hospital and is receiving medical care. So I could just imagine this truck coming down the road, sees this kid on his bike. The driver's trying to lock up the brakes, which should be safety skid, by the way. Coming over the hill or something. And
maybe they were a safety skid.
They must have been. Because he stopped so fast, you know.
He did.
But not
fast
enough.
Blink of an eye.
Well, and just imagine the mess you'd have on your hands and the rest of your body, too. and the rest of your body if that thing, like, burst. Or imagine if you're out getting the mail and you see this truck come and hits a kid. That's bad enough. But then to have this tidal wave, this tsunami of waste.
Unmentionables.
Yes. Horrible stuff.
Sloshing your way.
Yeah, literally. Oozing along. It's not something I want to witness. And I don't know about you, Jeff. That sounds like an awful way to go.
Yeah, it's got to be a smelly... Especially since he didn't die immediately. I mean, that's the way you go out.
Well, I mean, realistically, the truck wouldn't smell that bad, per se. I mean, it's just like being hit with another large truck. It's just the humiliation of being hit with
But I think
10 tons of shit, literally.
I've been stuck behind a septic truck before, and they do smell.
And sometimes they dribble stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I used to work on this construction crew, and we had porta-johns there, and they would bring a truck there to suck them out. and the truck was painted like a big barrel, and it had the honey pot painted on the side.
I'm pretty sure it's not transporting honey.
And no, Zach never ate honey again.
And there was like this, you know, horribly drawn cartoon bear on the side. You know, he's like
some ripoff of Winnie the Pooh reaching in there.
Oh, it was painful. It was painful, man. Everybody went to work on the other side of the house when the truck came to suck that shit out, literally. It was bad.
Living out in the country, we have a septic tank, and it's pretty nasty when they come to suck the thing out.
Do you have to pour that stuff down your toilet like once a month to send all the bacteria out to the septic field?
We do it whenever they suck the thing out.
Oh.
Like
Riddick's,
after they suck it out. Yeah, it's some like bacterial Riddick's culture. You can grow cheese out of it, I guess. I don't know. Make some sour cream, I guess. It, like, helps the bacteria digest.
Throw some Parmigiano Reggiano down there. Is that what you're saying?
That's basically what I think it is. You put it on pasta, too.
Mind me not to eat at your house.
Jerry Reed music with us, Ben.
Oh. So enough about a shitty way to die. It's a sad story. Let's talk about what we've had in the garage this week. Ben, was that Big Block Ford?
That's what I'm talking about.
Woo, horsepower, y'all.
That's right, 365 of them, if I do recall.
365 in the Lincoln?
Yeah, man.
Sounds like there's an exhaust leak there.
It does.
Well, that manifold was quite cracked a few leaks. That manifold had a crack the size of the Grand Canyon in that sucker. and you couldn't replace the manifold without pulling the motor.
How do you crack a manifold?
Wait, what year? Is this a 60, a six, mid-60s Lincoln?
Wasn't it?
71.
Oh, okay. Because the 430 Lincoln motors are kind of famous for that. Being like, you literally have to pull the motor to pull the exhaust manifold.
Yep.
Well, I'm assuming the manifold is a big chunk of cast iron, right?
Oh, yeah.
How does it crack?
It's 40 years old.
Yeah, it's
Eric,
40 years
that's
old.
That's too easy an answer.
Under stress and gets really, really freaking hot. How hot? 1,500 degrees hot.
Now, to put that into perspective, imagine 1 degree 1,500 times.
If you will.
That's really freaking hot.
It is.
If you really want to know about exhaust leaks, just talk to anyone with a 4-liter Jeep product.
Oh, yeah? Is that one of their common problems?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? You get really sleepy when you're driving it, all the carbon monoxide leaking.
The Lincoln was okay until you had to stop. Because, you know, there's no, like, weather stripping around the windows. The instant you stopped, man, you were in for a world of hurt. Like, you just prayed that light changed.
Or the window, you were down.
The windows wouldn't roll down, man. So you were trapped. You were literally in a suicide box. It was just a matter of time before you killed yourself accidentally.
Suicide box. America's number one suicide kit.
Brought to you by... Hi, I'm Jack Kevorkian for Suicide Box.
That reminds me of a story from high school. Not much of a story. What didn't happen to me, but my auto shop teacher told this. He used to be a volunteer firefighter, and they got called to this house, and a girl had tried to kill herself by parking her dad's truck in the garage and running it. But the problem was it was a diesel truck, so there isn't any carbon monoxide. Now, she almost succeeded. She almost died from heat stroke because it was like August when she tried to do this. But I guess she was in there for like a couple hours and
Shouldn't
failed.
I be dead by now?
Why can I still see and taste and breathe? So, yeah. Don't try to do that with a diesel, I guess.
The guy who traded me the rifle for the Lincoln, still trying to sell it for $4,500.
Did he come down on the price yet?
He did.
Did
he go down on it?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Good luck, buddy. That's all I got to say.
Well, it's a classic, you know.
It is a classic. It's a gorgeous car, but that thing is a fucking millstone.
Windows.
Dude. Didn't have operas. It had these two little
just tiny play along, ones. Zach. Come on.
I love those opera windows. They were fantastic.
They should bring those back. That's my number one retro feature. Opera windows and Landau bars.
Ugh.
So, all right. I'm going to assume, probably correctly, that you haven't driven anything, Zach.
That's right. Not a thing.
Okay. And what about you, Jeff?
I am driving the Suzuki Kizashi.
Oh.
Gesundheit.
Oh. How do you like that?
It's, this would be the perfect car for Ben to learn how to drive a stick on.
Because it's automatic? Or
no, it's a, it's a stick. The one I got's a six-speed. But you can hit the brakes fast, and it goes – it upshifts for you.
What?
I mean,
what?
Not literally, but the gear shifter is just so effortless.
Oh, it's like got a bunch – like triple cone synchronizers or something, so it just – slides right into gear. Is that what you're saying? Or
I don't know what it is. I mean, I've been driving sports cars for the last month. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it might have something to do with that.
Mm.
But, you know, when you go to downshift or, you know, shift in general, it's just so easy. Like, the shifter just slides into the next gear.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like butter?
It's like hot butter.
Like hot butter.
It's like sticking your finger in hot butter.
Warm KY jelly. Mm.
No, but it's a sharp-looking car.
It is, yeah. We had one here a while back. I didn't drive it, but
it is weird seeing the Suzuki logo on the steering wheel, though. Just, you know, I see that, and I think, you know, motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I grew up riding dirt bikes, so I see that S, and I think dirt bike. But it's a really nice car. I guess it's supposed to compete with the Camry, though.
It's smaller, though. I mean,
I thought that's more like a Civic.
I think it's Jetta-sized, isn't it? Which is convenient since it looks exactly like a Jetta.
Yeah. Well, I was going to put that in my article, how Volkswagen just acquired 20%.
Mm-hmm.
But that 20% was already put into making this a Suzuki Jetta.
A little bit of German engineering, huh?
I mean, it's got the same wheels, the same grille.
Yep. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's,
wow.
It's
Well, the front end does. The back end, not so much. But, yeah, the front end.
Do you like how it drives?
Yeah, I drove it from Jacksonville down to Gainesville yesterday, and it was really good. I got, like, I think 33 miles per gallon.
Hey, excellent.
That's pretty sharp.
Yeah, it's smooth, too. I mean, that's what I was surprised the most. Like, the SX4, it's kind of rough, but it's an all-wheel drive, tiny subcompact.
Yeah.
This thing is supposed to compete with
mainstream,
you know, high volume sedans.
What was the MSRP on that?
I don't know. It didn't come with a Maroni.
Oh,
that's convenient. And you can buy one for only I don't know.
I'd have to go on the website and look it up. But usually, that's what happens with my pre-production cars. They don't have Maronis.
Yeah.
Okay. And Eric, you were in something this week.
I've been in a lot of things in the last week.
Who did you
like Tiger Woods? Yes. I've had almost something new every day.
Hey-o.
Who did you service at General Motors to get all of these GM cars? I mean,
I had a come to Jesus meeting with a certain person of some influence over there.
Oh well, you know, it's a musical chairs game over there right now for management. So I'm surprised.
Well, you know. So long as that person got the word to the other right mm-hmm. person, and if the two never talk again, I don't care. So, yeah. You know. But. Yeah.
So what have you been in?
Well, last Friday, when did they pick that? They picked it up Monday. So last week when we talked, I think I said was wrapping up with the CTS wagon, and then I had a Lincoln MKS dropped off last Friday, which was the EcoBoost 1.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So that was really good, and it was actually – much sportier than you would expect. Not that you would expect the Lincoln to be mm-hmm. sporty, and I'm not calling it sporty. However, that said,
it's like a Miata, really.
Off ramps at 55 miles an hour weren't even squeezed. You know, tires weren't even protesting. And about 2,500 RPM when the turbos are nicely spooled, that thing is nice and zippy.
Off like a prom dress.
Yep. Yeah. And then so they came and got that this afternoon, and this morning I had a Buick LaCrosse dropped off. Hmm. And my instant impression of the Buick LaCrosse, sorry, couldn't resist, is that the interior of that is in some ways nicer than the CTS wagon.
Really? In what ways?
Better soft touch materials.
Okay. I know that. I remember that was something you had talked about with the CTS.
The LaCrosse has a heated steering wheel.
Ooh.
And the Cadillac did not.
Blasphemy.
Well, I mean, come on. In a $50,000 Cadillac, you can't have a heated steering wheel, but you can in a $35,000 Buick. Some of the materials just seem a little nicer in the Buick than they did in the Cadillac. So,
yeah. Mud Monster wants to know if it came with an AARP membership.
No, that's, you have to have one before you can buy the car.
Actually,
right?
the interior actually reminds me of very much of an ES 300 or a 3 whatever Lexus.
Mm-hmm.
It very much has that look and feel to it.
Now you drove
like
here
those,
tonight.
Yes.
It's out in the parking lot.
How'd you like those funky dash lights? You know, that wrap all the way around.
In the
LaCrosse. Did you not see those?
No, we haven't driven it at night yet.
Yeah, it was just getting dark when I got here. So,
what, are you in a different time zone, like Southern Standard Time?
Sorry. Southern Standard Time.
Everything moves much slower, right?
He's so funny.
So, I haven't seen the LaCrosse up close yet. I haven't really looked at it. I've seen them on the road. They look kind of frumpy.
A little
bit. Like, kind of like a mouth breather type thing. Ben, can you provide us some sound effects for that?
Yeah. I'm the 2010 Buick LaCrosse.
You should contact them about doing some advertising. And sell cars right and left.
Try the Buick LaCrosse. It's so nice.
The voice recognition system isn't the greatest with GM stuff, but mm-hmm. You know,
especially when you talk like that.
Yeah.
Next track.
I kept saying dial someone's name, and it kept saying
Chi-Chi's is on the left.
No, something about going to night display or something like that. I'm like, no.
Yes, that's exactly what I didn't want. Congratulations.
By the way, there is something I do have to say, and this has been an issue with the Ford Sync stuff, is that and I guess there's a bug fix coming if I read the forums correctly, but iPod touches do not work with Ford Sync.
What? That's absurd. But does the iPhone work? Or
what about Zune?
Yeah. Zune works.
It better work.
Better at fucking work. I mean, it's a damn fine media player right there. Damn fine.
I drove for 35 minutes, and it still was not able to index my 64-gig iPod Touch. So I saw that as a problem.
There you go, flaunting again. Had to get the 64, didn't you?
It's not like I paid for it, so.
Lift it from the Apple Store?
No, I got it for a birthday present.
Okay. That's a very nice birthday present.
You made that sound like swag. You were like, it's not that I paid for it. Apple sent me that shit.
I'm
like,
on
how do I get on that
media
list?
Yeah.
Actually, it was my 40th birthday present from my girlfriend. So,
that was very nice.
Mighty kind of her. Mighty kind. Yeah. And she went all the way with the 64 gigabyte.
Thank you, Greg.
All right. So I would like a chance to drive the LaCrosse someday. When I grow up, maybe I will.
I thought you were
well, you would look appropriate in the Buick right now with that seersucker jacket. I will agree.
Oh, do you like it?
With Michelle.
Do you like my seersucker jacket? Do you see that?
What about the hat?
That's quite.
Do you have a straw hat?
I have a hat that's better than a friggin' straw hat. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'll put it on. Hold on just a second here, folks.
That's right. I can never see this shit. I don't know what you guys are doing.
Watch it later.
I don't even know what he's doing.
Like
you're
here. Watch it live. Because.
Well, it sounds hilarious. I'll tell you that much.
Let me tell you, it is hilarious. Yeah.
Luke wants to know how old you are, Craig. 53.
Well, yes. I'm anxiously awaiting my AARP membership and Social Security. So hopefully, I get it before they run out. But this is my fur hat. It's great when it's cold out and you can be out in sub-zero weather and your head will be sweating.
Peter will be making a...
Oh, it's genuine rabbit fur. Feel that, Eric. Come here.
No, that's quite all right. Thank you.
Give it a touch.
It's okay. He doesn't want to feel your sweaty fur, Greg.
Come on, again, give it a proper feel.
Hey, well.
Get your hand on in there. Fluff that thing up,
clothes.
Eric. Come on.
All right. So I was going to... The reason I have this prop here is, one, because it's cold out. What was it? 16 degrees yesterday, and two.
Five below with the wind chill.
Five below. Yeah, it was pretty windy yesterday and today.
Jesus Christ. How do you people live up there?
You people.
The same way you live for six months. The same way you live for 6 months out of the year. It's 100 degrees and 100% humidity at 9 a.m.
And you live off 50-piece nuggets for $20.
Damn straight. How do you think I survived yesterday? You know, working for McDonald's.
Well, okay. I have this hat for two reasons. One, it's cold outside, and two, Michelle Naranjo will be coming to town next week. I believe Wednesday, right, Ben? Oh, is she here already?
Yeah, she was agreeing.
Okay. Well, Michelle will be here next week, so I was going to offer her the services of my hat, since she is coming from Southern California, and I saw on Twitter she was complaining about it being 43 degrees out, which is like, what? 43 degrees, that's T-shirt and hat weather. Am I right?
No.
No?
No. No, sir.
Well, practically.
Not even practically. Nothing practical about that.
But since she's not here, or she had a date or something to go on, couldn't do roundabout this week, I couldn't show her, so maybe next time. But what were we talking about anyway?
Michelle, who happens to be in the chat room, says, please do not wear that hat when we go out next Wednesday, Craig.
Michelle, it's so practical, though. It keeps you warm when it's cold out. And
well, I was nervous about calling strangers, but well, these strangers, they quickly became my friends.
We did a podcast together, and they became my friends.
I was devastated. I had to reuse catheters for the rest of my life.
That's a bitch.
It's very, very, very appropriate, Zach. Too bad she's not here to do our, you know, Cath Chat segment. It's a new segment we're doing here on Roundabout.
It's replacing carsology? Psychology?
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't had anything for that. We jettisoned it, so we figured we'd do, you know, find out what the latest news in the catheter industry was. But
I heard Marchione might be interested in that for his next press conference.
Well, yeah, if he has to stand up there for like 2 hours, good Lord. It's a long run to make. But anyway,
I don't even know what we were talking about, and I have the show notes in front of me.
Or, I think we were on In the Garage, I guess.
That's right.
And we somehow got off on a tangent about AARP and Buicks. So back on track. Last vehicle we're going to talk about, Transit Connect. I had that for a few days this week.
I saw that in your parking lot earlier this week.
It's a looker.
That was our second Transit Connect.
That's right. John
had
one.
Autoline Studios.
John
had
one. Wagon
or the van.
I had the commercial van version. And let me tell you, just got to spray paint Free Candy on the side. You're good to go. Or not.
So what did you haul around in your Transit Connect?
A whole lot of nothing.
You live up and you couldn't go and like haul some bales of hay or something? You live
some
up there
lumber
in
or something?
Haul something manly, yeah. Chopped firewood and loaded it in there. And, yeah. Well, funny thing is, I think whoever had it before me was hauling about 10,000 pounds of dog food because the whole thing reeks of kibbles and bits. Now, Ben.
Well, here's the thing. I think that they just reek because John had one, and I thought, oh, it's because he had Ike in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got another one, totally unrelated, and you're
completely
like, hey, it stinks. So
it smells like dog food.
Thinking there's something fishy in turkey.
Yeah, because they are built in Coachella, Turkey. But I'd say it's more dog food than fish, but whatever.
So what engine's in that thing?
It's a 2-liter four-cylinder, good for all of 136 horsepower.
Okay, how much torque?
Probably about the same. I don't know off the top of my head.
98.
Yeah, just about.
Zero to 60 and never?
You need, no, surprisingly, it's about as fast as Continental Drift. you can measure it with a calendar. No, actually, I was shocked. It's not that bad. For 136 horsepower and a 4-speed automatic, it's livable. I mean, it's not going to take down a Mustang in the lane next to you, but it's not dangerous getting on the highway. Now, if you have it loaded down with dog food or something, I imagine it would slow down quite a bit. But it's as it was, it was fine.
And to answer Mud Monster's question, no, it didn't. They don't have a diesel option here in the U.S. because Al Gore won't allow diesels in the U.S.
Which is bullshit, by the by.
He won't let him in because he didn't invent diesels. That's why. Like he did the internet.
Too busy inventing the internet.
I know. Yeah, now, so that was a big job.
Now he's too busy inventing tradable derivatives for carbon credits.
Huh. You know, whatever works.
We actually, Autotropolis, we named the Transit Connect our truck of the year. Hmm. We had all of our contributors, we had write in their favorites, and then we put in like a point system. Mm-hmm. And somehow the Transit Connect, I mean, there's so many better trucks on the road this year.
What do you mean? Well, if you even classify it as a truck.
I mean, it's truckish.
Yeah.
It's a van-like thing.
Vanlet. Some tiny. Yeah.
But I drove it out in at the Proving Grounds over the summer, mm-hmm, with five people in it. It was decently impressive for a small family car.
Yeah, I mean, you can practically stand up in the back. I say practically. You do have to hunch, but I mean, it's very tall, very wide. The floor is flat. It's got this nice rubber covering on it. Dual sliding doors.
If I was still racing motorcycles, and that came with a diesel, I would buy one of those, because what I really want is a Sprinter van, mm-hmm, but even a used Sprinter van's like $27,000,
and they're probably way too big for what you need too.
No, they're nice because you can stand up and change it. Yeah. That one, even if it's close, but I mean that's perfect because it's small and, mm-hmm, can hide it in a garage, I'm sure.
Yeah, I absolutely believe it would fit in a garage. So yeah, Transit Connect, Buick LaCrosse, and whatever the other vehicle we talked about, it's in the garage this week.
The Kizashi.
Yes, thank you. I think you had an Alzheimer's senior moment. I'm dressed for it, so have one of those.
Did you see the picture I posted on the chat?
No, what was it? Let me scroll up here. scrolling.
You wearing the tobacco.
I love it. That you should put that on Facebook.
Oh, that's right. I put it on Facebook, and that's where I got the picture.
Oh, beat me to it. That's priceless. So, all right, Ben, what do you think about doing another auto gadget segment?
I think that sounds fantastic.
And now we're to the part of the show where I get to relax because I dump the story off onto Ben. So, Ben?
Wait a second. You told me you were going to do this.
Yeah, well, I lied.
Well, I didn't even read it. All I did was bookmark it.
All right.
Well, I'll give you the thumbnail, and you can pick it up from here.
Okay.
This story is brought to us courtesy of GigaOhm.
Oh, that's how you say it.
Yes.
Okay.
Not GigaOhm.
I thought it was GigaOhm.
GigaOhm. Common
misconception.
Mistake.
Yeah. Okay.
And they report that the Pandora Internet Radio Service may soon be making its way to a car near you via the Ford Sync system or some other system. If you're not familiar with Pandora, they use what's called the Music Genome Project to identify music that you will like. You know, you choose an artist that you already like, and it will create a radio station for you based on that artist's stylings. You can go by genre, you can go by song type, and you just give it a thumbs up, thumbs down as you go to tell it how close it is to the mark. So that's as much as I can say.
Hmm?
Intriguing to anyone?
I heard something about radio.
No, absolutely. I love Pandora. I use it every day. So it's pretty exciting that it'll be moving towards the automotive world.
Guest 15059 is asking
Luke.
You, Ben.
Catchy name.
Very catchy. Rolls off the tongue. He's asking where they came up with the name, Ben.
His mother must have hated him.
I don't know where they came up with the name.
Because it was a musical box with which open you could never close.
It was full of all kinds of stuff, right?
They closed it, but the only thing left was hope.
Yeah. I'm trying to show it on the camera here for Ben, but I'm not doing a good job. But
Have Craig hold it up. Well, it'll be overexposed anyway. So,
but that's,
yeah, I mean, it was
Paul Rubens, right?
Pandora on the iPod. So
that was good enough, you know, just to get Pandora on the iPhone or your iPod Touch. And I mean, it's
a hand model.
You know, it's not the same as satellite radio, but in a lot of cases, it's better than FM.
Right. Well, I was thinking the way that you could – this would be good for both someone like Ford or whoever and Pandora because there could be a revenue model for both versus XM Sirius or whatever, which I'm sure is just a revenue model for Sirius.
But it's all contingent upon having internet in the car.
But most people have.
Oh, that's right.
A majority of people, if they don't have, are already getting smartphones.
Yeah.
And so you plug it in via USB, and there you are.
Cool.
But to put an EVDO type modem in a car is $10. So
maybe we'll probably see a lot more of that in the future. Then.
Yet another place where I can pay $60 a month.
And that'll just about do it for this week's installment of Auto Gadget. But before we move on to our next segment, I'd like to tell you that we've got a very special guest coming on the line. Michelle?
Hey, y'all.
We're so glad you could make it. Better late than never, right?
I know. I'm so sorry I'm late.
Well, what's the deal? Working for the man. You've got to have a better excuse than that. Come on.
She's cougaring it up.
There it is.
All right, enough of that. Let's get on with our next segment.
Highway Hearsay, Tales from the Open Road.
Highway Hearsay is all about what we've seen out on the road, from weird sightings to the stupid things people do. Now, Ben, I hope you got that photo ready.
Surely do.
Well, that's terrific. If you post a link in the chat, we can all enjoy it together.
Oh. Well, that I don't have, but I can show it live.
Oh, even better.
Look at that.
Let's hold on. Now, the other day, I went to the pharmacy. It was a Walgreens to pick up a prescription, and I look on the counter and just started laughing because I guess it's kind of a common sense thing, but it still made me chuckle. They had a big sign there, which you can see in the photo. It says, "Alcoholic beverages may not be sold through drive-thru window."
Well, obviously, that's proof you're living in the wrong state. In North Carolina, they have beer throughs where you can drive through a beer store and just point at the ones, and people bring you the beer, and then you pay and drive away.
Yep.
We have those in Texas too, beer barns.
Yep, they're in Pennsylvania. I've been through one. There used to be one in Ann Arbor, right off of Main Street and William, I believe.
Well, I am not buying liquor at the Walgreens anymore. Then this is an outrage.
You know the best one I ever. The best one I ever saw was in Missouri when I was in college, and it was a drive-through with frozen drinks. So they had, like, the big slurpee machines, but things like, you know, sex on the beach and slippery apples and daiquiris and margaritas frozen, and you could get a 44-ounce.
Listen to how excited she is.
Cup. And I'm not – well, it's just so funny
it's
because
just like
they
my
got
days
around
in college.
The open they got around the open container law because they would put scotch tape around the lid.
Oh, that you know, child proofs it right there. That's that's funny. Frozen drinks at a drive-through liquor store. Wow.
Well, the best part about drive-through liquor stores is you don't have to put down your drink and walk inside. You can just, you know, keep on chugging inside your car.
Yeah,
that's right.
If you got tinted windows, nobody's ever going to know.
The way God intended.
Yes, absolutely. You know, this reminds me of another place that's similar, and maybe you're familiar with it, Zach. Went on a road trip a few years ago with some friends, hit the Dragon. We were staying in North Carolina. I forget the town, but there's this store, kind of like a country store, I guess, and they've got all kinds of stuff in there, but they've got this gigantic walk-in humidor for tobacco and cigars and stuff. Huge. I think it was like JR's or something it was
called.
Yeah,
there's one on Northwestern, and the whole store is a humidor.
Yeah, I've never seen that before. Neither had my friends. So unless we're all shut-ins, which is highly likely.
When you live in tobacco country, that's what happens.
So yeah, there you go.
I love JR. Bought stuff from them from years.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Copenhagen?
No, more like...
Skull?
Skull. More like La Gloria Cubana, Partagas... Hoya de Monterey.
Speaking a foreign language.
Yeah.
I don't speak Greek or whatever.
That would be Spanish.
Olé. Okay. Anyway, our next highway hearsay comes courtesy of one of our friends on Twitter, C. Backus. It's an interesting take on a new way to market cars. And it comes from the website the depressing website, peopleofwalmart.com. If you haven't been there, I suggest you throw that into your browser and go take a look. But the photo that he provided us with shows a woman at Walmart, and she's got, like, it looks to me like a paper bag, and she's fashioned it into a kind of vest, and she's wearing it.
Board.
Say again?
It's a sandwich board.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a sandwich board, exactly. And on the back of it, she has some lettering. It says, Kia Spectra car for sale. Walking around Walmart.
Oh, that was me.
Oh, that was you? Oh. Your roots are going a little gray, Michelle.
About the right length hair, though.
Might want to get a touch-up, but...
And I do dig that coat.
Yeah, it's pleated or something.
You know what this reminds me of? I've been to a few gun shows, and people do this with guns
really?
A lot. Like, they'll just wear signs or, like, be carrying a gun over their shoulder and have, like, a dowel rod with, like, a little flag. And
it'll Confederate say, like, flag or...?
A paper flag. Asshole.
Sorry.
It says, you know, M1 Garand or whatever for sale, however much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly what I thought of when I saw this.
That's a
Which
cool
is decidedly
gun.
More scary than a Kia Spectra, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, Michelle, would you ever consider selling your Kia this way? Or have you tried?
No. I should. Every time a gardener or a handyman comes to my house, they see it. It's because it's completely covered in dirt. I haven't driven it in so many months. And they say, hey, you want to sell that car? So I don't even think I have to leave home to sell it.
Wow. Interesting she didn't put any contact info on there, though. I guess you're just supposed to go up and
That's because she lives in it.
Well, that's true.
Go outside. It's the pink Spectra.
Pink and purple from the looks of her.
She's probably one of those crazy old cat women, you know?
Well, after seeing the hamster ads that Kia did earlier this year, maybe this is better marketing.
Yes, by writing on a paper bag.
It's guerrilla marketing.
You're right. It's like the Fiesta movement or something, right? That real grassroots.
The only difference is you can buy it now. You don't have to wait a year.
6 months. Exactly, exactly. So, yeah.
I actually saw someone tweet the other day, I just reserved my Fiesta. Now I have to figure out if I can pay for it.
The car's not that expensive. You have a job, you should be able to pay for it.
But you know all the people they were marketing to can't have jobs. They're too busy creating art.
And tweeting all day, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So there you go. People at Walmart. Hilarious site or terrifying, depending on what photos are posted. Check it out, and I'm sure we'll have a link to this photo in the show notes. So go to our website. Look at it.
That would be roundaboutshow.com.
Thank you. I couldn't remember.
.com.
Yeah, okay, now one more segment before we take off tonight, because it has been 1 hour and 19 minutes by my watch. We had a viewer comment. I know, amazing.
And people, it wasn't Mud Monster?
No, it was not Mud Monster. It was someone else that wrote in, that took the time out of their schedule to write in to us. So I think we should all, you know, be very grateful. Applause.
Woo! Yeah.
Give ourselves a pat on the back. We've earned it. So anyway, Luke wrote in to say, hey guys, I've been watching since number one. I enjoy watching it every time. I am a huge Mustang fan and notice that you guys have driven the new Roush 540. Does it come with an automatic option and what's it 0 to 60 time? Thanks and have a great holiday. Well, thank you, Luke, and you have a great holiday as well. I was actually the one that drove the Roush. I don't think any of you guys have yet, but that's a very nice car. Very nice. Like its name implies, it's got 540 horsepower, and that's a good bit more than you need to go to the store.
So I guess my question would be, Luke, are you an amputee or a woman? Because why else would you want an automatic?
Ouch.
That's true.
Except unless your name's Michelle, who understands about driving manual transmissions.
Go easy, Eric. He's our only other fan.
Well, I don't see him in the chat now. So
he is. He's guest 64523.
Okay. I thought I saw Luke.
Maybe he lives in San Francisco or somewhere with a lot of hills. So
no, I was not wearing the seersucker jacket in the Mustang, although I probably would have got more ladies that way. This is stylish.
Luke says he has cerebral palsy. That's why he needs an automatic.
Who feels like an ass now, Eric?
Oh,
who feels
God.
Like an ass now?
Wow.
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 That's like a South Park. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, I made you eat your parents. Wow.
Why, is that Craig with another?
Hey, screw you guys. Hey.
Craig coming up with another reference. Wow.
I know. It's pretty amazing.
I've got 3 slash boards on my slate over here. Ooh. We're going to get up to 5 pretty soon.
Sweet. So, yeah, Roush 540 RH, they take the 4.6, the base V8 engine. They do some, change some things out, rods, pistons, some other
special
tuning
sauce.
And whatnot. Thank you, special sauce. 540 horsepower, fast, very fast. And they claim they've got it down to about 11.8 in the quarter mile at a buck 21. Eric, you know a lot more about racing on the drag strip than I do. Do you have any idea? Can you guess what a 0-60 time would be based on that? I know it's hard. There are so
many
variables.
Under 3 seconds.
Less than 3 seconds.
I think it's under 3. I don't know.
No way.
Yeah.
Rear wheel drive. Let's remember the rear wheel drive.
Yes.
Okay. Just all right.
Do you smell that, you guys? Eric's talking out of his ass again. smells like dog.
Well,
food.
Hold on. I
smells like
this,
a Transit Connect.
I was watching an old Top Gear last night where they were testing the Porsche Carrera GT, the V10 supercar, and they talked about how it did the standing kilometer or whatever,
they use the metric system.
Yeah, so it's all zeros and ones. But essentially, the performance would be very similar.
Hmm.
In a straight line.
I can vouch, and Ben, you were in there around the block once with me. Very fast.
Very fast.
Yes. That's Ben's expert opinion, too.
That's a technical term.
Fast. Very fast. And, it's only an extra $18,000 over the price of the regular Mustang
GT.
It's
cheaper than a GT500.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And a lot faster, too, isn't it?
I don't remember the number. In a straight line.
Pretty close, right? Yeah. Actually, the Roush is actually better than the GT500 mm-hmm. because it uses the 4.6.
It's aluminum.
It's a lot lighter in the front end versus the 5.4, which I believe they use the iron block for. So it's about 150 pounds lighter, I believe. And Roush has a better suspension underneath than what that comes on the GT500. So
it's probably a little harsher, but better handling.
No, actually, I think it's actually more supple. Mm. It handles better and is more supple than the GT500.
Win-win.
So, yeah, it's actually quite the automobile. Yeah,
absolutely. If you can afford the fuel, that's the...
Dude, if you can afford a $50,000 car, you should not bitch about the amount of fuel it uses.
Yeah. So I hope we answered all your questions, Luke. And, thank you for writing in.
And by the way, the 121, we talked about this when you would in the garage, but just to say 121 miles an hour is about a 1080 in the quarter mile if you have proper tires.
10.8 seconds?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. That must be some formula.
That's how I come up with 0-60 and probably under 3.
That sounds unbelievable, but we'll have to test it the next time we have the car in the garage. So... cool. Anyway, thank you again, Luke, and thanks to all of you guys for participating. Michelle, are you still there?
I am.
We've been droning on. I'm sorry. So what's
Heating
going on in your life?
Left and right. Sorry.
End Craig, Craig wants to know right how now. You're filling your life now that you're no longer with Car Salsa.
Well, I've been listing stuff on eBay. Which is cool. I mean, it's fine. It's money before Christmas, right?
What are you working on? Anything?
I'm going to Detroit to see you guys next week.
That's right. You'll be here next, what, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Wednesday I get in for the Ford preview of the auto show.
Exciting stuff. Well, we will have to have a tweet up then. Definitely.
Yes.
And you can try my hat on if you want.
Let me just say this. Let me say this. While you guys are in cold-ass Detroit looking at the International Auto Show stuff, I'll be down in South Beach checking out the Aston Martin Rapide.
No shit, really?
Mm. Yeah.
Well done, sir.
I give you morning greetings from Deadwood for that.
And that is the voice, of course, of Eric Tritko, Mr. Rumblestrip on Twitter.
Yes.
Anything you'd like to plug?
My blog, which would be rumblestrip.net, and yes, on the Twitters at twitter.com/rumblestrip.
Very good. Zach Bowman, always good for a laugh. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Great. Anything you'd like to shamelessly plug?
No, you can check out everything I'm up to over at exhaustnote.com or blog.webridestv.com or Twitter at z_Bowman.
Cool. Any big projects in the oven right now?
Thankfully, no. Oh, and greenracer.com, green-racer.com.
Is there a site he's not on, Eric? Goodness.
I don't think so.
I am everywhere.
You're like God, watching us all.
You got to do that many gigs just to keep food on the table.
Keep your name out there, yeah, absolutely.
You make about $5 a post, so, you know.
Yeah, about that, actually. Or less in some locations.
And last but not least, Mr. Jeff Ross. You know the drill. Yes.
My stuff is on autotropolis.com, and actually I'm thinking about getting into book reviews now.
Really?
Yeah. I was talking with a colleague, and he's got a website in Tampa called Creative Loafing, and he's wanting me to review some car book that just came out.
Well, cool. See, yeah. I would love to do that, except the problem is you have to read the book.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
It's not true.
I'm good at typing.
You these cars, you know.
Get the Cliff's Notes.
That's not true, Craig. That's hilarious. So, all right. I would like to plug a couple things, if I may. We've got my Camaro review on roundaboutshow.com. Check that out. It's not a full review. It's just a few of my thoughts. It's a new segment we're calling a closer look. Some of the
would that be like an instant impression?
Similar to, but it is not the same as an instant impression. Thank you, Eric. So check that out. I'll have one up a little later in the coming days on the Transit Connect and its dog food aroma. So check back early, check back often. Lastly, I'd like to thank our producer, Ben Sanders, for making this live broadcast and, of course, the edited podcast possible. Ben, thank you as always.
And everyone knows, I was gone last week, and I let the inmates run the asylum. And I was such a fan of Jeff's You're Welcome in place of me that I think I'm going to start using that from now on.
You're welcome.
Man.
That's a winner right there, buddy.
I feel like we're good friends now, Ben. You're welcome.
You can just whenever there's a lull, we don't need crickets. Just play that. That'll break the ice, Ben, really good.
That's
anyway, remember, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week, including links and show notes. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or criticisms, shoot us an email, just like Luke did. Swing by the site and click on the email button in the sidebar. If you're feeling really ambitious, you can even suggest story ideas for upcoming shows. You can also follow us on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/roundaboutshow. And don't forget, we also have a Facebook fan page. Just search for us. You'll find us. And to make sure you never miss an action-packed episode, subscribe. We're on iTunes and, of course, on the Zune Marketplace as well. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then.
And I will be in the Bahamas next Friday.
What? What, they don't have phones?
I'm not going
to. He's just disgusted.
I'm going to be drinking my $25 margaritas. You might not want to have my insight.
Why don't you call once in a while?
Why don't we get you in as a segment? That would be hilarious, Jeff. Drunk on the beach, talking about whatever.
So while we're waiting, I have a fun new story for you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, story time?
Yep,
got another
story time.
Tale of.
Ah, here we go.
And now, a story with Zach Bowman.
Okay, so I get this phone call on Wednesday night, and it's from a friend of mine, and she says that her car won't start.
Wait, you're married, though.
You're always interrupting him.
I know, all the time. I can never get into a flow, a rhythm, you know?
Okay, I will sit on my hands, so to speak.
All right. So I get this call from a friend who is a girl, even though I'm married. She's actually my wife's friend, but still.
Hey.
No. So she calls me up and she says, my car won't start. I'm like, okay, where are you? She's downtown. So I hop in the Scout, the 78 Scout, drive downtown. I have the tools with me. It's not the battery. It's the starter. Starter's dead. She's already tried to roll start it. She's on this bridge. There's parking on either side of the bridge. She's at the bottom of the bridge. So I'm like, all right, well, we'll just go to the parts store, pick up the starter. If we can, we'll swap it here. So we go back to the truck, and the truck is pissing antifreeze at this point.
That's like, a separate issue, though, right?
This is a brand new issue, just started like that night. I find out it's a hose that runs to the heater core, so I just turn off the heat to the truck, and I'd say it's probably about 40 degrees and dropping at this point. So we go to the parts store, pick up the starter, come back to her car. The starter on like a 2002 Nissan Sentra SE is on the back of the motor, below the intake, but like above like the little flange where the oil pan bolts on. And the flange on the starter actually is threaded, so the bolts come through on the transmission side. But the transmission shields essentially anywhere where you can get to the bolts, right?
Hmm.
So I realize I can't do this on the road, so we push this car up this bridge, okay, far enough so that we can roll start it coming down the hill.
It was a stick?
Yeah, it was a stick, okay. Unfortunately. Jump this car off, drive it all the way to the house. I don't get done until like 11:30 at night, and I'm, you know, cut up and bruised and bleeding. I swear to God, I have never worked on a car more cantankerous, including the fucking Lincoln. I mean, I swear to God, the engineers who worked at Ford when they produced the goddamn Lincoln must have moved to fucking Nissan by the time this car rolled off the goddamn line.
Well, they took all the everything they learned at Ford and, you know, built upon that and then went to Nissan.
Un-fucking real. Like, the exhaust, like, there's a hole. It's like one of those puzzles where, like, you know, there's a little thing trapped inside the box and you've got to wheel it around until it comes out. Oh, my God. I was irate by the time I got that thing out of there. It was a good time.